You know, I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin ever. And I remember actually, I was thinking about it the other day. I had two young boys that approached me on the field as I was walking home when I was probably about 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, you have a big booty. And I don't think they used that word back then, but I was so self-conscious about how I looked, you know, and the size of my hips. And, you know, today that's, you know, curves can be such a beautiful thing. But back then when you're, you know, 10, 12 years old, that really sits with you. And, you know, so with the unhealthy lifestyle, of course, that attributed to a lot of my weight gain. And I just grew up kind of wanting to numb all those feelings. And at a certain point when I weighed 215 pounds, I got to a point where I didn't want to be alive anymore. And I honestly thought that if I just changed the way I looked on the outside, it would actually heal who I was on the inside.
When you need advice on beauty, who are you gonna call? Beauty Call with Janice McGuinn. Janice is easy and loves to have casual yet informative conversations on sex, beauty, love, fashion, work-life balance, diet, fitness, nutrition, relationship, and life's ups and downs. Join the Beauty Call podcast and learn inside secrets to true beauty.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Call podcast. I'm your host, Janice McQueen, and I have Tamar Medford here with The Road to Health. Tamar, you are an amazing woman, and I've learned so much from you already just in talking with you and all the tips and tricks that you have that you're going to share with our listeners. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about who you are, what you're doing, and then we'll talk about your road to health and how you started that.
Thank you so much, Janice. I'm super flattered to be on your show. So who I am, I currently have a regular day job in outside sales. I work for the marine industry, so we manufacture windows and doors for boats. And I have the privilege of being able to go out and about all up and down the West Coast and build relationships with people. So for myself, it's always been very challenging to stay healthy while being on the road because there's just too many temptations. I love food. I'm a huge foodie.
Me too.
Yeah. And sometimes recently I've actually started to realize that, hey, you know what? I'm going to be back in this area again. I don't have to go to that restaurant and eat necessarily this time around. And so, you know, it's just getting used to it. But that's really what started my road to health was I knew that this was going to be a challenge. It was an obstacle that I felt could get in my way. So I needed an outlet to become accountable. And that's how I started the Road to Health podcast, because putting it out there and actually being vulnerable and, you know, just being accountable to my listeners was something I felt was super important to me. And hopefully it inspires others to do the same thing.
Amazing. Yes. And traveling is so tough, and mm-hmm. be able to stay healthy, stay beautiful, stay hydrated. It's a challenge. I think it's just a challenge in general, right? To stay healthy.
It is. Yeah. It is. Let alone adding being on the road all the time. So.
I know. I mean, I'm a big believer in that, you know, nutrition and health are equated to beauty. And, you know, of course my show is about beauty inside and out, but if we don't take care of the inside and if we don't do the things that we have to do to stay healthy, then guess what? It shows.
Absolutely.
It shows. So you have really gone through a journey, and mm-hmm. I had no idea when I met you that you at one time weighed 75 pounds more.
Mm-hmm. 215 pound was my all-time high.
Wow. Okay, girl, you got to share. You got to start sharing how you did it, because, you know, we got through the holidays. Most of us got through the holidays without gaining too much weight.
But we did. A few extra pounds,
but it's a roller coaster, you know, for most women, especially, and men too. They just don't like to admit it. Mm-hmm. But we all go through this ups and downs and this roller coaster in our journey to stay the optimum weight. So how did you lose 75 pounds? When did you lose it, and what's changed?
My original, I'd say the first part of my journey started in 2011. So I lived an incredibly unhealthy lifestyle. alcoholism runs in my family, unfortunately. And so, you know, from the age of 14, I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin ever. And I remember actually, I was thinking about it the other day. I had two young boys that approached me on the field as I was walking home when I was probably about 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, you have a big booty. And I don't think they used that word back then, but I was so self-conscious about how I looked, you know, and the size of my hips. And, you know, today that's, you know, curves can be such a beautiful thing. But back then when you're, you know, 10, 12 years old, that really sits with you. And, you know, so with the unhealthy lifestyle, of course, that attributed to a lot of my weight gain. And I just grew up kind of wanting to numb all those feelings. And at a certain point when I weighed 215 pounds, I got to a point where I didn't want to be alive anymore. And I honestly thought that if I just changed the way I looked on the outside, it would actually heal who I was on the inside. And that's kind of how I started my journey in early 2012, was I decided, you know what, I'm going to do what everybody else does. I'm going to go and get a gym membership and make these New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought I could do this alone, and I did it for about a month, but I felt incredibly lost. I just kind of show up at the gym and, you know, go and sit on some weight machines and really not have any idea what I was doing. And so I really, you know, I came to the realization that this isn't something that I should be doing on my own. And I actually asked for help. And so I hired a personal trainer, and actually that decision that I made changed everything moving forward, because it led to so many different events that, you know, led to me becoming sober. It also helped me learn how to eat clean, and, you know, that there was no quick fix to all this thing. Because that's something I wanted. I wanted to lose 75 pounds and I wanted to lose it now. And so I really had to work on my mental well-being and realize that this is going to be a journey for the long haul. And so I started weightlifting. One of the things I always thought was if I start actually lifting some weights that I'm going to get big and bulky. And I was really self-conscious already because, you know, I have really thin hair, and, you know, when I was teased when I was a kid, I didn't want to look manly or anything like that. So I really had that perception that if I lifted weights that I would be big and bulky, but that just wasn't the reality. So it was really just eating clean food, making sure I don't turn to processed food, and lifting weights is what really got me there. And it was over a year that I did it.
Wow. So you did it over the course of time, which is how we should all do it. There's no, when you try to do it fast and you try to do all of these diets and, you know, I always jokingly say diet is a 4-letter word, because it is, it's like cussing. It's like, it's like a bad word because it's so bad for you, but you did it over the course of time and you had the right motivation. And I'm sorry you had those struggles in your life, especially, you know, feeling like you just didn't want to live anymore. And I think we, as just, especially women, I think that we put such a strong emphasis on how we look. Mm-hmm. And if we bring it back to how we feel and our health and the reasonings behind everything, really the internal beauty will start to shine, and to do it the right way, because, you know, it's hard. We all want to lose 10 pounds by tomorrow, but that is not healthy. But if you think about every single day trying to be the best you can be and eat the best that you can, then in a week you're going to feel better. And in 2 weeks, even more, you know, even better than that. And it takes a strong person to be able to realize that they need to take alcohol out of their diet, which is mm-hmm. a high sugar. It's high sugar.
It is.
Yeah. And it makes you feel bad. And it's one of the things that I don't say you have to give it up, but, you know, it's one of the things that I've reduced quite a bit. I don't drink during the week at all. So I applaud you for doing that and for realizing that, you know, working out is so important, and especially using weights, because I think so many people, they think that cardio is king, but using the weights helps you get more muscle. And so that helps you burn more fat. So that's amazing. So you are now this woman who's lost 75 pounds. You are living your best life, but you are traveling all the time, girl. I mean, you're like me. You're always going. I'm running around doing a million things, but you're on the road even more than I am. So that, of course, is what motivated you to start talking about and helping other people through their process of what do you do to stay healthy on the road. So what is the best routine that you have when you're on the road, as well as when you're at home, so that you have that consistency in your life, that you're able to take that with you as you travel, but also use that while you're at home?
Well, I think just the word consistency is probably the biggest thing. I had to learn how to develop habits that I could utilize at home and as well as on the road. And, you know, so a typical morning for me will be I wake up and I meditate right away, because I think my mindset has to be, I'm trying to think of the word. It has to be in good shape for me to have a productive day, I believe. So I try and work on my mind first. Then I read some affirmations. I use Google Keep in my phone now that I can keep this all organized, because of all the things that go on when you're on the road and everything that can change last minute, I like to have it all organized. I do my little 5-minute journal. Sometimes I'll actually open my laptop and type out my journal, and then I head to the gym. And if I have to use, you know, workout bands, I will do a workout routine in my hotel room. But I've also signed up for a gym here in Canada that they have an affiliate down in the US. So I try to stay in hotels where there is a fitness facility nearby. So if I, you know, I would prefer to be able to go to the gym, because it's just something I love to do. And then of course, sleep. Sleep is probably the number one thing that I've had to come to the realization that is the ultimate of importance for me, is getting that 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Because if I am completely run down, I'm not at my best. You know, I don't show up for the company I work for. I don't feel like getting up and going to the gym. And then I tend to get complacent again. So it was really keeping that kind of schedule consistent, whether or not I'm at home or on the road, that was the big change for me.
Wow. Those are really good tips and tricks. And I think we tend to, I know I sometimes don't get the sleep that I need to have, but we forget that's how we heal. That's a great way of healing. Great advice. And then you, because you have lost 75 pounds and you are wanting to keep that off, you know, obviously exercise and sleep and meditation is so very important, because that is part of the routine that we all need to have. But you also have to, you know, worry about what you're eating. I know that when I travel a lot for work, but when I used to travel pretty much consistently like you do right now, mm-hmm. I had difficulty finding healthier foods. And so I had to be very resourceful. So what do you do to keep healthy on the road? Because I think anyone that's, whether they're working an 8-hour day and then they're coming home, or if they're on the road for weeks at a time like you can be, you have to have those that in place. Otherwise you get tempted. I know I used to, there's that vending machine.
Yes. Yeah.
So how do you stay on course?
So I plan now. Actually, you know, about a year ago, I found Adam Scheibele's podcast, The Million Pound Mission. Mm-hmm. And I signed up for a group of his because a lot of his shows I could relate to. It was real people talking about their real life struggles. And so Adam has really taught us how to plan ahead. So I actually plan in 28-day increments, and I look at my travel schedule, although that can change. We all know when we're in a outside role that sometimes we need to drop what we're doing and head somewhere else. But for the most part, I can look a month ahead and figure out, okay, where do I need to go? And I actually look up typically a Whole Foods or some sort of a healthy grocery store that I can stop in at on my way into town. So as soon as I land, I'll drop my stuff at the hotel, and then I'll usually go and grab some extra stuff that I can tote around with me. I like to bring RX bars with me, so the protein bars on the road, and always have something in my backpack, because I can get very complacent. And it's part of why I started my show is, of course, over the last few years, as my life got really good, I've fluctuated in weight a lot. And so part of that was, you know, if I was emotional or I was tired, I would always reach for something with a lot of carbs in it. And, you know, because I wanted that energy fix and that, you know, increase of mood, but it was so temporary that I needed to make sure that I had healthier snacks on me. So that's kind of one of the strategies that I've been using lately.
Good. I like that because, oh gosh, we all love carbs, don't we?
Yes, we do. They're my favorite.
I know. They're tempting. They're, oh my goodness. It just reminds you of love and home. Oh,
right.
And taking care of, but then you pay for it later.
I know. It's, you know, macaroni and cheese is probably one of my favorite comfort foods that I eat. And I try to stay away from that stuff. But, you know, I do try and indulge every once in a while in some things that, normally I wouldn't, just because I don't believe in the, you know, I'm currently doing a 28-day challenge and it's very restrictive and I'm finding I'm not enjoying it as much, even though the simplicity of it is really nice. I like to have variety because I find that if you hold yourself too restrictive, then you're just going to end up binging, you know, one weekend you're home and it's like, forget it. I'm going to eat whatever I want now. And then you're kind of, you start to backslide again and say, well, I'll start on Monday. And I don't want to be that person anymore that has to reset every Monday.
Right. Oh, I know. I know. I remember those days. I went through reset Mondays during college. I was like, the weekend was all about binging and eating chocolate and pizzas and going out. Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't want to relive that. And I've had bouts of that throughout my adulthood, but it really is just having that consistency in your diet and know what foods work best for you. So what works best for you? Like, you're doing a 28-day challenge. What is that challenge? Can you share that with our listeners?
I can. So currently it is the carnivore diet. And this is something that I found incredibly challenging. I made it 2.5 weeks without having any vegetables. And my body is paying for it, unfortunately. But it was something that I wanted to be able to speak to, you know, from a point of view that I've tried it. And I actually, you know, probably have to talk to you because the next thing I want to do in a few months is try a plant-based diet and see how my body feels eating, you know, plant-based foods and, you know, how I adapt to it. But, you know, that the carnivore diet is really restrictive. And, you know, that was pretty much the only reason I did it. I love a good challenge, but I wanted to see how my body felt. And now I know that my body doesn't like that. And it's, you know, we just got back from a week of traveling with the whole sales team, which typically I'm by myself. So it's a lot easier to manage what I eat. But when you're, you know, out bowling with the whole group and you're going to be there for a few hours and you don't have anything with you, it's way harder to make those kind of choices in environments where there's not a lot of choice available to you. Mm-hmm. So I do prefer traveling by myself because it's just a lot easier to control what I eat.
Right. And there's temptation. I know I travel and I meet up with my team every now and again and temptation is there. And, you know, I have those tips and tricks of how I get through that. But there's always a way of finding something healthy on just about every single menu. And I look forward to sharing some great tips with you about plant-based diet. I think that'll be a great thing for you to try and see if it works for you. And I think for most people, you have to have a balance of everything and you have to do what's best for you. And you've got to try different things, but ultimately it's all about doing what is best for your body. And, you know, you need the protein, but you really need plants just so that things work.
Exactly. <You
know? laughs> otherwise things just don't digest or work. You know, you know what I mean? I don't have to spell it out for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, right? Not all our bodies respond the same to, you know, something. I know people who have had amazing results and I've had results from this too, but my body is basically telling me, you know what? No, this isn't something you want to do long-term, but I incorporate intermittent fasting as well. You know, calorie cycling, which is something that's become really convenient while I've been on the road, is the calorie cycling. So I can have the higher and the lower days.
Tell us about that. I'm very familiar with fasting. And for those listening that want to know more about that, intermittent fasting is a really great way to sort of wake up your body. I do it myself. I try to take, oh gosh, I don't know which cycle you do, but I typically try to wait at least 12 to 16 hours without eating. And then I have 8 hours that I eat. So I will try to have dinner no later than 8 p.m. Sometimes that is hard when you're on the road.
It is.
But then I won't do breakfast. I'll do brunch or lunch so that I'm going about 15 to 16 hours. Works very, very well for me. Mm-hmm. I feel amazing. I have so much energy. And there are other different cycles of intermittent fasting that you can do that might be better for your body. But for me, that works really well. What type of fasting or intermittent fasting do you do tomorrow?
I do the same thing, the 16 and 8, because it works so well for me. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I'll throw in a 24-hour fast in there if I'm really heavy client appointments, because then I don't have to worry about eating until dinner time. So
that's great. Well, you know, I think that's important in fasting. At least once a week is fantastic. And intermittent fasting is something you can do every day if you so choose. And it really does sort of kickstart your metabolism.
It really does.
Yeah. So you do calorie cycling. Now, I have not tried that. So please explain what that is.
So I've figured out the amount of calories that I can consume in a day where I can have a healthy weight loss, about 1 pound a week, sometimes not, but that's about almost 1800 calories actually, which I was a little surprised at first because I really thought that was too high, but it actually is feeding my body enough calories in a day so my metabolism stays strong. And what calorie cycling is I will have 3 days of, you know, my 1800 calories, and then 2 days I will have a low calorie day, which is about 75% of that number. So it equates to about 1300 to 1400 calories. And then the other 2 days I can have high calories, which is about 2100 calories. But when you add it all up, it's the exact same amount of calories per week. But what that does is it allows me, so say I have a flight out, usually I'll have a low calorie day that day because there's not a lot of great, meal choices in an airport, and nor really ones that I want to waste any of my calories on.
Right.
And so I might have a low calorie day that day. It's all a good day to do a 24-hour fast. And then if I have, say, a client dinner and I know we might be going somewhere where I want to indulge a little, I can have a higher calorie day. So it really balances out my calories and it gives me more flexibility when I travel.
That's good. And I think it also keeps your body sort of on, you know, edge. It's wondering what you're going to do next. And so mm-hmm. your metabolism, again, is sort of jump started, right?
Exactly.
Keeps you on your toes. I like that. And I think I naturally do that. I've just never called it that.
Yeah. I think we all do it.
I think we all naturally do that. And yeah, especially traveling, because for me, if I'm flying, there's so much salt and sodium. And not that you don't need some iodine and sodium in your diet. You do to be healthy. A big lesson that I learned over the course of the years. But too much is too much. Mm-hmm. And when you travel, I have just now I can just tell by tasting one bite of something that they've overdone the sodium, and I pass on that, especially when you're traveling, just because it just your body doesn't like it. It's not healthy. You won't sleep well. And then it spirals you out, and then you don't have the energy to do the things that you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So this is a journey for you. And this journey is something that is ongoing. I think that we all are on the journey of life and mm-hmm. the journey to health. So, you know, what is the best advice you can give to our listeners that are just starting out on a journey themselves? Maybe they feel like they need to lose 75 pounds, or maybe they just need to lose that last 5 pounds and they're stuck. What is the best tip that you can give them?
I would say don't do it alone. Having a support network, either getting a group of friends involved and saying, hey, you know what, let's do this together. I think that is probably the number one important thing. I always try and promote the sense of community. I'm part of a lot of different communities in terms of my health journey and my business journey. That's how we met on Rise and Bloom. Mm-hmm. But it's so important because, you know, just having people to bounce ideas off of and also pick you up when you have felt like you've, you know, failed. And I don't believe in the word fail because I think it just makes us stronger, if we can push forward. But, you know, having those people there that can keep you accountable, that's probably the number one most important thing I would recommend.
That's a huge one. Accountability. I think mm-hmm. that is important. Always have someone there that's got your back. And when you're feeling weak, maybe you reach out to that person or to that group mm-hmm. So that you can have that support And, you know, I will add to it. You mentioned that you have like little RX bars that you travel with. I think that's a really good nutrition or beauty hack for anyone traveling, is to make sure that you have something that is a go-to, because you don't want to starve your body. You don't want to starve yourself, and you don't want to be feel mentally challenged because you are lacking that nutrition.
Exactly.
So, you know, and those work for you, the RX bars. I know what you're talking about. I've tried those before too, and I really like them. But, you know, find a bar that's great for you that maybe has a low sugar content, a low sodium content. And if you're like me, there's some great plant-based options, or the RX bars are vegetarian. But they provide a lot of high protein. So there's protein bars, there's energy bars, there's carb bars, or whatever works best for you. But just having that with you. And I know people that travel with nuts and with fruit. And, you know, you can break it down so that it's a serving size. I think that's really good to be able to just travel and feel like you've got something there just in case. And I know you're doing all of that along with it. And it's great that you're bringing in the workout in the mix. I think that is so important. So how many days a week do you work out?
Typically 4 days a week. So if I can go and do an extra cardio session when I'm at home, I always try to do that, but I don't always have the time, and I do it in the morning. So it depends what time I go to sleep, really, to be honest. And that's, you know, how I determine when I'm going to work out.
Okay, let's break it down here. You talked about sleeping.
Yes.
And how that's so important. I agree with you, sister. I have to have at least 8 hours of sleep every single night. I know 7 to 8 is healthy. Some people can survive on a lot less, but I don't think that that is really healthy over the long term. So how do you do it? I mean, when you travel and you're in a hotel room and you're in a different hotel room, let's say every single week, how do you do it?
Earplugs that I never used to use earplugs, and I started using them, you know, about a year ago. And I found that just tuning everybody out, or everything, because of course, you know, this last week we had the whole team together, and a lot of people complained that they could hear, you know, people beside them. And I've experienced that a ton when I travel, but, you know, making sure you have the ability to just kind of, you know, unwind. I read a lot. I think it's so important to switch my brain over from work mode to, you know, just reading a book that I really enjoy and relaxing my mind. So I always make sure that if I actually plan based when I have to get up, that's what time I plan 8 hours back when I'm going to actually go to sleep. And then an hour before that is when I turn off all my electronics and I just read. So I have an hour essentially to unwind before my head hits the pillow and I'm fast asleep. So
that's good. And it's just learning to wind down, I guess, is important, to, especially when you're at home and then sometimes you're traveling and you're back and forth and your body gets a little confused. So having that consistency, like what you said, is consistency. Yes. And what you do makes a difference.
Yeah. And sometimes it's having to say no, you know, it's having to, you know, kind of set your boundaries. And I'm not going to go out tonight. I'm just going to come back to the hotel and unwind, because to me, waking up the next day feeling refreshed is way more important than having a late night out now.
Amen to that. I tell you, that is so important. And so many people have FOMO, fear of missing out. And sometimes you need to miss out.
You do need to miss out. Sometimes it's the better option.
It is the better option. It's okay. They'll forgive you.
Yeah. You learn to appreciate the times you do go out a lot more.
You do. I know. Great, great advice. So you have some great resources through your Facebook group, your website. So how can people reach out? And of course, this will all be in our show notes, but please tell our listeners how to reach out, because you are a role model. And
thank you.
You are doing it right. You're helping yourself and you're helping others feel better, which means you look better. And that is what we all need to do. And that way we can be there for each other.
Exactly. Well, the best way is probably to go to my website. It's www.theroadtohealth.me. I have all my contacts there, direct links to my Facebook page, Instagram. Instagram is where I hang out the most, and that's The Road to Health PC for podcast. And you can, you know, send me a DM and I'll always reply to that. I love engaging with listeners and, you know, sharing vulnerabilities and, you know, journeys together. So those are probably the two best places to find me.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Tamara. It's been amazing hearing all of your wonderful tips and tricks on how to stay healthier, how to travel, have consistent habits so that you can avoid, you know, reaching for those carbohydrates or those sweets, but also just losing and staying and maintaining your weight and just keeping beautiful inside and out. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Janice.
Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Beauty Call Podcast and subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. Thanks again for listening.